Greetings, beautiful ones. I am Ms. BJ Martin, and this is Snails with No Shells. Leave that shell at the door. You see, a lot of us are running around here living in our shells. Some of us are putting muscles on our shells. Some of us are putting makeup on our shells. On this platform, leave that shell at the door. Just be free, be comfortable to be who you are in your own skin. Let's be slugs for a little while. Everyone is welcome to this show. There is no judgment on this platform. We keep it clean and we keep it cool. All right. See you later.
Is it just my imagination, or is it just insanity for me to constantly yearn for that deep soul feel love, that protective, connective kind of love, that I love you cause I want to, kind of love.
Greetings, greetings, beautiful ones. I am Ms. BJ Martin, and this is Snails with No Shells. Leave that shell at the door. Be a slug for a little while. That's the only rule that I have in this room. All right, all right. So let's get into it. I'd like to bring my beautiful, amazing guest to the stage. Erica, you back?
Hello, hello. How are you?
I am amazing. How are you?
I'm good. It's a little chilly over here, but I'm good.
Yeah, I'm in Atlanta, and it's been pouring down raining for the past couple of days, and like 40-some degrees. Yes, it's cold here, too.
Yeah.
Where are you?
I'm in New Orleans.
In New Orleans.
Yes, okay. Yes. It's like 38 here.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, we ain't used to that over here.
Yeah, I know it. Oh, my goodness. All that good seafood, all them fish and stuff. What they going to do? Oh my goodness. All right, let's get into it. Erica, where were you born and raised?
So I was born and raised in New Orleans, and I'm still here.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And yes,
what was I just gonna say, this is home. This is where I'm from. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Those are those Saints.
Yeah, I'm not really a football.
Really? I'm surprised.
Everybody, I mean, I watch it and I root just because it's the home team, but I like basketball.
Okay. Okay. All right. You probably say some kind of sport. You got like some kind of That's amazing. All right. So what was it like growing up in New Orleans?
I guess for me, I mean, it was great for me. I grew up in a neighborhood where, you know, it was one of those things where parents looked out for other people's kids. And, you right. know, my mom was an at-home mom. So she probably was the one who had everybody's kid in the house when their mom wasn't home. Right. So there was always somebody there. I mean, I grew up with a, you know, mom and dad and a little brother, loving home. School was fine. Went to the, you know, local schools. And it was great. I mean, you know, it was in the early 70s, so it was a great time. I mean, changed a lot now, like most cities have, you know, but it's still home for me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay. And so what did you want to be when you grew up?
You know, I wanted to be a cosmetologist. I really? Wanted to do hair. Yep. Ever since I was a little girl, I wanted to do hair. Mm-hmm. And I actually, when I was in junior high school, I guess it might have been like eighth grade when they had different high schools coming around to talk about this school to try to, you know, recruit students. And this school, I had never heard of it, was in the Central Business District here in New Orleans, called Ellie Robwin Vocational High School. Those people came to my school and they told me about their cosmetology program. I went home like, man, I know where I'm going to high school. I know where I'm going. And I went there and it was great. So 10th, 11th, 12th grade, By the time you finished 12th grade, you should have been going to state board to take your exam. But unfortunately, we had a teacher that didn't do right by us. And I ended up not having the amount of hours that I should have had to go to state board. And mind you, I was a kid that went to school every day. So at the end of your 12th grade year from 10th, 11th, and 12th, you should have had, I think it was 1,500 hours. And I ended up not, none of us, we didn't have it. And so that meant I would have had to start all over again, a school that I was going to have to pay for. You know, my whole purpose of doing that was it was free. It was my high school, you know, and so it kind of put me in a funk. And I'm like, okay, I don't know what I want to do now. That's what I want to do. Right. And, you know, it's like I felt like I wasted my years. I could have went to the school my other friends went to. You know, I went somewhere where all of anybody knew about it.
Right.
And it messed me up. And I'm like, okay, what am I going to do with my life? And so I thought about a computer class that I had. Mm-hmm. And since I took cosmetology all those years, I never learned how to type. So I did have a computer class and I thought about that and I was like, you know what? Let's do something with this. And so I went to another vocational school. I didn't go to college. I was afraid of college. So I didn't go to college. Yeah. Went to a vocational school, learned how to type, took up data and word processing, and it just went on from there. So I still, you know, I do my own, I don't do anybody else's hair. I don't even want to do that anymore. My looks are always different because I do me, but I don't even want to do that. But you know, now I'm I do payroll at a university here in New Orleans. So I'm a payroll administrator here. So, I mean, from the thing I've done a whole lot of different things, but you know, that's where I've been the longest.
Right.
But yeah, it's amazing how a lot of times the dreams you have don't turn out the way you think they're going to turn out, you know? But yeah, I wanted to do hair. My mom bought me that Barbie head.
Yes.
Taught me how to braid, taught me how to set it. You couldn't tell me I wasn't gonna have a salon. That
right.
Barbie had it all, boy.
Yes, look, I had some Barbies. Well, I think we all did, and I was doing an asymmetric bob, a little high right, low left, when I was like 7 before it even came out. Don't ask me where I got it from. I was doing the same thing. I didn't have dreams or aspirations to be a hairstylist, but I used to cut their hair too. I guess that's just one of those things that we used to do, you know.
Yeah.
And you say you try a lot of different stuff. And I, when you say that, I'm not surprised, because being a hairstylist, that's creative. That's creative.
Yeah.
That's creativity. That's a creative outlet. So you say you've done different. I'm not surprised at all.
Yeah.
I'm not.
And I used to, oh gosh. I had a friend. I was like, oh, let me cut your hair. And she was dating this guy and he didn't like short hair. I was like, girl, he go to the barber every week. He can't tell you what to do with your head. That's just because I want the cut. She let me cut. Oh, goodness.
She
I still love the cut.
Ooh, what did he say?
I think it because it was me and he knew we were like real tight, you know, he was all right with it.
Okay.
But yeah, I just thought that was going to be it, but it wasn't. But it's okay. God had another path for me to go down. So I'm good.
Yes. Yes. Okay. All right. So yeah, and you know, and that's a whole nother conversation, like as far as men and women's hair and them not liking certain things. I love my beautiful men though. I do love y'all. I swear I do.
Yeah. We have some experiences with that kind of stuff.
I know that had to be kind of devastating. You get to your senior year and you had your plan and It just ended that way.
It did. And I mean, I had turned 18 by the time I graduated. So it's like all I ever wanted to do. And now, I mean, I could have still done it, but I was thinking about my parents. I'm like, okay, my parents don't have a whole lot of money. So the purpose of going to the school was like, I went there for free, you know, and now my mom's gonna have to pay. They're gonna have to buy new equipment. Now I got to pay to go.
Right.
I got to, you know, I already have to pay to get the state board. It's just like, I had a plan and she just messed up my whole plan. So I was like, I don't know if I even want to do this now.
And you know what? That's beautiful how, you know, that young 18 or whatever, how we're very considerate of our parents, you know?
Yes. That's what I was looking at.
Here for free, this money that they spend. And a lot of times, even my daughter, she's that same way. And I'm like, well, did you even talk to me about it?
And I did.
What is she thinking about? We haven't even talked about it. How do you know that I didn't have the money? Or how do you know that we couldn't have did that? You didn't even. You didn't even.
I didn't. And I know if I had told my mom, because she knew what the issue was, and I'm right. sure if I had said, well, I really want to do this, they would have did what they had to do to get me there. But it just messed with me. But I guess that was all to show me that that wasn't my path.
Right. You know? Right. Yeah. We do go through stuff. Mm-hmm. That's for sure.
Yeah.
All right. So she didn't become the hairdresser, but y'all, she became an author.
Yes.
How about
that? Yes. Yes.
That creativity had to come out some kind of way.
Oh, yeah.
So here we go. I'm going to read this right quick, and we're going to dig into this.
Okay.
It says, Erica Yvette. Erica is a published author of the book, Why Settle for Crumbs? You Deserve the Whole Cake. She has been blessed with the spiritual gift of encouragement. She loves being available to give a word of advice, hope, and encouragement, or just an ear to listen. And we'll go through all the other stuff, how to contact you and everything. Okay, so, Erica Yvette.
Yes, ma'am.
Where did this come from? Okay, so what made you decide to get into writing?
In school, I love writing. And in my head, I pictured myself writing for children's books. That's kind of what I thought. I never really did anything to pursue it, but me writing this particular book was based on an experience I had with my ex-husband. So I settled for crumbs, but I deserve so much more. So that's the background behind the book. After I divorced him, I started writing, and originally the title was Stop Settling for Less Than You Deserve. And I guess I didn't really have anywhere to go with it because it was full of all of the things that he did and all of the negativity that I experienced, but I didn't have anything happy to put in it. I didn't know at the time that that's why I stopped, but that's really probably why I stopped. It didn't really have anywhere to end. Then I met my current husband, great person, met him through some family, and you know, everybody was like, oh, he's a good guy. You know, y'all need to meet. We met and hit it off, and now we've been married almost 17 years. And I had this draw in me of wanting to help people and not knowing what that help looked like. At the time, I had two friends that were battling cancer, and I was kind of feeling a certain kind of way. We have a regular job, and I'm not able to be there for them if they needed, you know, errand ran or something. I'm like, oh, I got people I want to do stuff for, but because I got this job, I can't really do it. Mm-hmm. And somebody asked me if I was still working at the university. And I was like, yeah, I've been here a while. And they mentioned retiring from there. And I was like, no, I don't know if I'm going to be here that long. You know, I have other things I'm working on. And there's something I want to do with my life, and I don't know what that is. I don't know what I want to do. And the girl said something to me, person. She said, have you prayed about it? And I was like, really? I have not. Mm-hmm. And I think the reason why I hadn't was in my own head, I don't have time to do what I want to do for people. So I didn't pray to ask the Lord, show me how to do things. I just, you know, said it in my head. I don't have the time. And when she said that to me, I was like, I really have not prayed. Like, I pray when I lose keys. Like, Lord, where are my keys? And to show you where they are. I've done it.
Right.
But I did not pray. And so that night, and I remember the date because it was the day before my husband's birthday. And so it was August 28th. Well, this was August 27th. And so that night I went to bed and I was like, Lord, I have not asked you, what is this help that I need to give? What is it that I'm supposed to be doing? Mm-hmm. And I went to bed. I woke up that morning. It was still dark outside. I don't know what time it was, but things from my old relationship started playing in my head. Mm. And to myself, I said, man, I settled for crumbs. And I was like, ding, why settle for crumbs? You deserve the whole cake. And it reminded me of what I started writing those years ago. Don't settle for less than you deserve. And I'm like, I'm supposed to be writing a book. I have a book to write.
Yes, yes.
It was so clear. It was literally the next day. So I'm headed to work. I'm calling my mom. I was like, Erica, it don't take the Lord all day to answer a prayer. I'm like, yeah, but I never had one answered the next day. I know the Lord worked like that, but I never experienced that. So I went to work and I was all excited. And the girl who told me that, I said, girl, I got a book to write. Mm-hmm. And I got home. I left work that day and went to Walgreens, got my husband a birthday card because his birthday was the next day, okay. And bought a tablet. And literally August 28th, I started writing. and I ended up with a book. I finished that book in November. So from August 28th, November 5th was the last date that I typed anything. So 2 months and like a week, I wrote a book.
Wow.
Now, it's not a big book, but I wrote a book.
Look at that. But just, hey, doesn't have to be that big.
And I wrote it and I'm like, this is the help I'm supposed to be given. Mm-hmm. I have been one that, you know, friends will come to me, people that I don't know. You end up in a grocery store and somebody says something about their man and you end up talking and I'm giving encouragement. Mm-hmm. I have always been that person. You know, my husband tells me all the time, you're so wise, you know, and I know with the advice that I give, I'm not telling you crazy stuff. I'm telling you on a spiritual level how you should handle a certain situation. I'm not gonna tell you, girl, go slit his tires. I'm not gonna tell you that. No. Even if I think it, I'm not gonna tell you. You know, so it's like,
yes,
this book I wrote to help people. Mm-hmm. There's so many women, we get into these relationships and we just settle. It's things that happen. For me, there were things that happened I never questioned. I just let them go. And eventually they came back around because it needed to be addressed. And right. So when you settle, you're getting the least of what you deserve, you know, mm-hmm. And in a relationship, you deserve to have the happiness that you want. Yes. And if you're with somebody that's not doing that, then you got decisions you need to make, you know, so mm-hmm. That's the whole basis of the book. It talks about my experience, but I ask a lot of questions in this book. And I also have note sheets behind every chapter for you to read it and evaluate where you are. If you're somebody that's in a relationship, are you happy? Where are you? How are you mm-hmm. feeling in it? You know, mm-hmm. how are you with this other person? Because if you dealing with some stuff that you're not happy, you know, especially if you're in a relationship and you're not married, it's hard when you're trying to make a decision to leave, you know, and that's not what I'm advocating, but you deserve the best, you know? Yeah. So it really makes the reader think about, where am I? Am I happy? Do I have crumbs or do I have the whole cake? You know, mm-hmm. right mm-hmm. now I have the whole cake, you know, right. And I desire mm-hmm. everybody to feel that, you know, yes. It's a wonderful feeling to have somebody that supports you, that has your back, that you know they're concerned about you. You know, mm-hmm. whenever time I leave my house, my husband tells me, be careful. You know,
right.
I had somebody at the time that I was married before, I didn't drive. I had somebody that we had a car and I would catch the bus to go to work and I had to catch two buses to do that. You know, yeah. So I tell you, I had crumbs.
Yeah, good night. Look, I'm not judging because.
No, and I mean, it's just like, it's night and day when I compare the two, you know, and it's like, there are a lot of people, although it may not be to that extreme, but there are a lot of people who are just settling. I've been with them so long, I don't want to start over. Right. That's not a reason.
Right.
You know, oh, we got kids together, and that's mm-hmm. not a reason. Because if mama mm-hmm. not happy, the kids not happy either. Mm-hmm.
Now everybody's living in dysfunction.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's mm-hmm. just decisions that we need to make about our own self and where we are in that thing.
Yes, you know, when you know better, you do better.
Yes, you're supposed to. Better.
Right, and when you want better.
When you want better, yes.
And and that's funny because everybody I've interviewed on my show, they've all wanted to help in some capacity. They all wanted to help or are helping mm-hmm. and are healing in the process. I think that's beautiful. Mm-hmm. That people, you know, like I said, regardless of what you see on Instagram or TV or whatever, yes, that there are people out here that are really trying to make life
better. Yes.
And mm-hmm. your situation, you know, with your ex-husband, like you had to go through that, right? Because otherwise, how would you relate to anybody else who's going through it? I'll talk about that, how we all have had our own I almost call them like tragedies in a sense, you know, it's like something tragic that happens in your life that kind of shakes you up. I almost I say you kind of have a spiritual awakening in
a sense.
It changes your whole life. It's like a life changer, and it may not change instantly, but just you're growing, you're starting to change and develop into this a whole nother human being, right?
Yes.
So, and yours just happened to be with your marriage. Now she wanted to be this hairdresser helping people to look beautiful, right? but look, honey, now
it's a deeper healing now.
Yes. It's not just about the outer.
No, ma'am.
Yeah, it's inner. So I love that.
Yes.
I love that. Yes.
And that's something I never thought about it that way. That's interesting.
Yeah. Yep, you're still on task. Yes. Yeah. So I'm just want to go back into that, just into the ex-husband experience. What was the like the breaking point? Like, when did you say, you know what, I can't do this no more?
So I found out after we were married that he had a kid before we got married. And so we were married, so I'm willing to accept that. It's like, okay, that happened. The child is like 8, you know. He and I dated all of my 20s. So 29, we get married, and we stayed married for like 3 years. So I find out the kid is 8. It's like, what are you going to do about that? That happened. Y'all weren't married. Yeah, I'm upset about it, but she's here. Can't do anything about that. And I was willing to accept that. But at the time that I found out about her, he was missing. He wasn't coming home. And after I found out about her, I thought that was the reason. I'm thinking it's a baby. When I found out the kid is 8, I'm like, okay, so this is not the reason he's not coming home. So I found out he was cheating on me again. And that was the final thing. Because realizing that he had a kid meant you cheated on me before. Mm-hmm. But we're married now. So I'm kind of putting that, you know, the boyfriend-girlfriend relationship is different from a married relationship. So I'm willing to let that go. Okay, now we're married. Now I'm trying to process this kid that everybody knew you had that I didn't know about. On top of being newly married, on top of you not coming home at night. And now I need to know why. And when I find out that there really is somebody else, it was too much in them 3 little years that it's like, this is not what God designed me. I should not be struggling like this in 3 years. 2 years, because by the 3rd anniversary, I was gone. It's like, that for me, that was too much. The not coming home, the not caring, find any little thing to argue about just so you can leave. You know, you're mad, so you leave. And I mean, I remember specifically one day, we had a good day home together and we went grocery shopping. We came home and I'm putting up the groceries and he's got an attitude. I'm like, what's wrong with you? You know what's wrong with me. I'm like, we had a good day. What are you talking about? Just any little thing that he could say, I'm about to leave. And you leave. And I'm like, okay, there's something going on here that is not connecting with me. And you know, women, we can be our own detectives. So after finding some stuff and looking at the phone bill and then looking at these numbers and calling them and all this stuff, you know, like, oh, he got somebody, you know, and that just was it for me. That was it for me. I couldn't do it anymore.
Okay. Yeah. I can understand that. So did you, did you take some time? Because we always talking about inner work. And even though you experienced that, you know, with your ex-husband and you see all the things that he did, you know, did you get a chance to like do some introspection on yourself? Like, you know, maybe how I contributed or why did I accept this, you know?
So for me, I don't feel like I did any inner work to fix me. And not to, you know, people have relationship issues and, you know, people have to look at themselves. I don't feel like there's anything that I did that caused this. I feel like whatever it is he did, those are decisions he made. Number one, I didn't even drive. So it's not like I was never around. I was always home. Right. If you want to be with me, all you had to do was be home. I honestly, it wasn't about me. Because even with the kid, when I finally realized that the kid existed, I asked him. So let me back up a little bit. We were dating. And there was one particular night we were on the phone. Now, mind you, we like early 20s. So this is like my first serious relationship. Never had really had a boyfriend before. And so we're asking these questions and getting to know each other. And he asked me, what if I told you I had a kid? What would you do? So it was kind of like these 20 questions. We're going back and forth. How would you handle it? And so he said, if I told you I had a kid, what would you do? And I said, well, it depends. Depends on how old the kid is. And he said, why? I said, well, you and I have been together 2 years. If the kid is younger than 2, that means you've cheated. If the kid is older than 2, then I have to decide whether or not I want to be around for that. So when I find out that kid exists and I go back, because hindsight's 2020. The Lord started playing back all these different conversations that we had over the years. And I said, when you asked me, what would I do if you had a kid? Was this it? And he said, yeah. I said, so why didn't you tell me then? He said, because your answer was, if it was younger than 2, you were going to break up with me. So you knew I was a good person to be with, that you didn't want to lose me, but you would rather lie and hold it all of those years.
Right.
You know, so I don't feel like it was me that caused what happened. It was him and the decisions that he made, you know, with not being honest. Now, why did he cheat? I have no idea. You know, second time, I don't know. But after that ended, I really didn't even think about getting into another relationship. Like, it just didn't even, for me, it was like more of a healing because I had went through some depression with that. And so I lost a lot of weight. I lost a lot of weight. Right. I was like 30 something years old and I was like 119 pounds. I was so thin. So it really was like finding myself. I was very, what's the word I want to use? Conservative in the way I dressed. Everything was all covered up. I didn't get provocative, but I wore sleeveless stuff. I started different kind of hair. I never wore fake hair. Girl, I wear a wig in a minute. Just things changed about me. I felt a growth in myself. I did, and it's not anything that I particularly said I gotta work on it. I just saw myself changing. You know, like I'm better than what I had. And it just, it was almost, you talk about shells, it was almost like a butterfly, you know, coming out the cocoon. Like I just felt a change in myself. More assured of myself that it's not about him, you know. I never found myself to be somebody with low self-esteem, but I do realize that in that relationship, it was low. It had to be for me to accept the stuff that I accepted.
Exactly.
You know, so it made me look at that kind of stuff.
But guess what, Erica, that's inner work. You did do it.
Yeah, yeah. I guess it wasn't like conscious. It wasn't like, I need to fix this.
Right. You just happened. You did it.
Yeah.
You did it.
Yeah,
you're right. Didn't work now.
Well, you know, people make statements. Well, I have to fix this and I got to get this together. It was never that. It was done, but not, I guess, not realizing I was doing it.
Right. Yeah. she did the inner workout. She did. When you go through something like that, you know, and you go through the depression and all that, and you come up out of it, because I was saying that we're put in certain situations and certain relationships to trigger certain things in us to make us look at ourselves, like what's going on, you know. And when you ended the relationship and you took that time to heal and to do the inner work, because a lot of times, you know, people go from relationship to relationship and relationship, they wonder why it's not working or it's always the other person.
Right.
You know, so when you take that time to yourself, you know, and you go through the depression, it's like God or universe, whatever whatever
I believe you God. Like
to use, that they put you in a certain spot where you can't depend on anybody but them, and you're gonna have to go in that depression and all that, because we got to come up out of it. You got to come up, and a lot of times you're doing that alone. You may have friends and stuff that you talk to, but they can't feel exactly what you're feeling, so you got to come up out of that alone.
Like the
butterfly, the cocoon, you know, and the caterpillar going through the cocoon process to turn to the butterfly. The caterpillar is alone during this process,
and you're right.
So we do have to be alone and cry and do all that healing. I call that crying. I call that like baptism, you know, the tears of healing, because you're doing a lot of crying and you do that alone. So
Well, it didn't take me long to get the whole cake, because I was still, I think my divorce was pending when I met my current husband. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it was, I guess, kind of blind date sort of thing. Hey, can we give him your number? Okay, yeah. And it was my cousin, so I trusted them. Because I think after that previous relationship, I probably wouldn't have been able to trust anybody I just met off the street, because his whole family hid this kid. So you can't say, oh, you can ask my mama. Nah, I done had a mama lie. You know, you can ask my cousin. Nah, I had cousins. I probably wouldn't believe anything anybody told me. Right. So the fact that these were my relatives is like, oh, so-and-so has a friend. It was my cousin's husband's friend. So it's like, oh, my girl has a friend, you know, and I think y'all be good. And I was like, okay, you know. And they told him about me. And so, you know, we talked and then we went to lunch. And then because I was still legally married, and I was like, look, you know, I'm still married. I want to do stuff the right way. We've met. We can't see each other divorced. And that really gave us a time to get to know each other. It was almost like being 16 again, on the phone all the time, you know, and that talking. Mm-hmm. So that was like July, August, my divorce papers came. We went on our first date. It wasn't even weird because we had been talking for a whole month, you know, and so February that next year we were engaged. We got married in August.
Yes.
I told somebody, I was like, I'm getting married. Like, get married. Didn't you just get divorced? Oh,
yeah. Yes, and so what?
Take months and Sundays to know. You know, mm-hmm. the other person mm-hmm. I was with for like 10, 8 years, 8, 9 years. Mm-hmm. Stayed married 3. I'm like, it don't take months and Sundays to know if it's right, you know?
Right. So, right.
Yeah, it was August of this year. It'd be 17 years. So yeah, we good.
That's congratulations. That Thank is you. Amazing.
Yes.
Wow. I love your story. Thank you for sharing with me and the audience. We're gonna. This is gonna really help. Somebody. I feel it was just about one person.
Exactly.
You know, and then we pay it forward and you help the next, you help the next.
Yes. And the thing about me writing this book, like that from my experience, that there is somebody that can connect with this to say, you know what, I felt that. May not be the same exact situation, but we've settled at some point in a relationship and like, okay, why am I still here? You know, so to know that it can be fixed if two people willing to fix it, you know, and I say that in the book, by all means, I'm not advocating for people to just go out here and get a divorce because they ain't happy, but you do have to evaluate it. If you got somebody that's with you, you know, like, I heard somebody say, you can't build the house and you're the only one carrying the bricks, you know, that other person's got to be there. If they're willing to, you know, if you're willing to work it out, hey, work it out. But one of my issues was that I wasn't vocal. So in my settling, when I saw things, I didn't question them. If I had questioned stuff way back before we even got married, I would never even married him. But I just took what he, you know, first boyfriend, I'm all excited I got a boyfriend. You know, so it's like whatever happens, like, you know, you just shrug it off and just let it go. That'll change or whatever. And, you know, those things that you thought would change didn't change. Just carried into your relationship or into your marriage. And it's like, okay, he's still doing this. And you know, so what do I do? You know, and this, as the problem started piling on and it got more and more and more, you know, it just became too heavy to hold by myself. But, you know, this book was written to motivate you to examine where you are. Mm-hmm. You know, I even have a questionnaire in the back. You know, I got this from Oprah. I remember years ago, Oprah had somebody on her show. If you think about your relationship and you have your 10 fingers, she said, on your 10 fingers, count all the good stuff. And then on the same 10 fingers, count the bad. And if the bad outweigh the good, you got something to think about. But if the good outweigh the bad, you're doing pretty good. You know, so I have that in here. Write down, you know, 10 things that you're satisfied with, and then write the things you're not. And if the things you're not satisfied with outweigh the good, then it's some decisions you need to make. It's conversations that you need to have. Because who wants to be in a relationship with somebody and you're not happy?
Right.
You know, I mean, you shouldn't look for a person to make you happy. God gives joy. We get happiness, you know, it's conditional. But just being around somebody and y'all can't stand each other or you don't want to be in the same room, that's not healthy. Mm-hmm. So why settle for that type of a relationship, you know? And I break it down for all the sisters because I'm like, if you're with somebody and it's somebody else's husband, you might want to rethink that.
Yes.
You know, I cover all areas because, you know, we settle for that too. And we think we're special because, oh, girl, he got a husband, but he with me. He ain't leaving, he ain't divorcing, you ain't that special. You know, so I mean, I break it down for everybody. Because we settle in all kind of things and we think we got the good deal. No, not all the time.
Right.
You know, that's what we tell ourselves, but look at it for real.
Right.
You know?
Right. And I had an experience, well, I did a video where I was talking about how I was settling for coffee at a certain coffee shop because of the convenience. because it was very convenient for me to get there, you know. Mm-hmm. And I was having a bad experience with the coffee. So at one time it was half cold, the other time it wasn't sweet enough. I couldn't taste it. You know, I kept having, but I was like, oh, that's okay though, because you know, it's convenient. It don't take me no time to get here. Uh-huh. But when I can actually maybe just go maybe a couple of miles over and get it, my coffee just like
the way you want it. Yes, right? Yes.
So
yes.
That incident caused me to start looking at other things in my life. If you're settling for something simple, coffee,
yes.
What else are you settling for in your life?
Yes,
you know.
Yes. Now, so, although the book is about relationships, we settle in all kinds of things.
Yes, we do.
You know, I just talked about my experience relationship-wise, but you could take this and apply it to anything.
Yes.
You know, because we do, you know, think about a job. Oh, I really want to move on to such and such, but, you know, I've been here for 12 years. And I'm just, you know, there might be an opportunity. You got to try it. You know, you never know if you don't try. You just stay that stuck where you are and just taking it. You might be able to get a promotion. You might be able to get a better job. You know, so we get stuck and settled in all kinds of situations.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it doesn't just apply to relationships.
Yes, Well, Erica, I've enjoyed this time. We spent together, girl. We could have probably went on a whole nother hour.
Probably. One thing I am is a talker.
Yes. Yes, you guys. So she is an author and a contributing writer to the Own It magazine. Thank you, Own It magazine, for allowing me to use your platform. And I love Marissa. She's the best.
Yes, she is.
Okay, so Erica, go ahead. And I have a little ticker going across, but just verbally let everybody know where they can reach you and get your book.
So I am on Facebook, Erica Yvette. I'm on Instagram, Erica Yvette 9. And my book can be purchased from my website. My website is ericayvette.com. And that's ericayvette.com. And that'll take you straight. And there is a order page on my site that you can purchase the book.
Awesome. Yep. All right. Before we go, is there like a quote or just a one jewel or nugget that you'd like to drop before we go?
I would say my one, I would call it a nugget. I would say my one nugget is recognize your worth. Know that you everything that it is you want out of life. Stop settling. You deserve the whole cake.
I love it.
Yes.
I love it. And again, thank you for being on my show.
You are welcome.
I enjoyed this time. I did. Yes. I did.
So did I.
So before I go, I would just like to say, remember, just like the sun, you are necessary. I love y'all.
Bye.